Hello and welcome to America Trends. Thank you for being with us here on the U2 America TV network and on Biz Talk Radio. Well, it is trending. Brett Kavanaugh yet again and some more what seem to be very, very fake allegations. The New York Times is getting hammered for a story, a report that the company has already revised, all about this new allegation against now Supreme Court Justice Brett Kavanaugh. But wait, actually it's getting published now, but it's not new at all. So what happened is the newspaper published an editor's note Sunday night revealing that some alleged victim in their report who didn't even remember such an event, something about a high school age guy, Kavanaugh supposedly, exposing himself at a party. It's just so weird, but it's basically about a book coming out this week. But the story came out and was disregarded a year ago. Unsubstantiated, to be sure. And yes, the latest Kavanaugh accuser was Hillary's lawyer in the Clinton impeachment. All these things are connected. The Senate Judiciary Committee, there's the New York Post, Supreme Smear, another dishonest attack against Brett Kavanaugh. That's the front page from Monday. But just want to remind you through all this, and we're going to talk to Senator Ted Harvey in a moment about this. The Senate Judiciary Committee released a 400-page report after investigators followed every accusation before his confirmation, Kavanaugh's, every accusation and lead against him, and they found absolutely nothing. The nation's first auto strike in 12 years. It is targeting General Motors, and now 49,000 members of the United Auto Workers have walked off GM's factory floors and/or set up picket lines. This happened early Monday. Workers shut down 33 manufacturing plants in 9 states, as well as 22 parts distribution warehouses. Negotiations deteriorated with the union saying GM has budged very little during their months of talks. GM said it made substantial offers, including higher wages. Apparently, the people want $30 an hour. The company behind OxyContin has filed for bankruptcy protection. Purdue Pharma filed just days after the company reached a tentative settlement with state and local governments over the opioid crisis. This is in the midst of some 2,600 lawsuits alleging the company helped fuel the deadly opioid epidemic across the U.S. Purdue Pharma made billions from this painkiller, OxyContin. Opioid addiction called a public health crisis. Here's some reaction on Twitter for our viewers. This crisis claimed the lives of nearly 400,000 people between the years of 1999 and 2017. That is according to the latest U.S. data. Well, you have this trending. It's a very, very cool Google doodle. Have you heard of these? Google published it Monday, a tribute to B.B. King on what would have been his 94th birthday. King passed away in 2015, but left an indelible legacy in music.
Although I'll still live on, but so long.
The great B.B. King would be 94 years old. Passed away in 2015. Right here is him playing 3 O'Clock Blues live, obviously. 3 O'Clock Blues was his first Billboard Rhythm and Blues charted number one, and he would become one of the most important names in R&B music and beyond in the 50s and beyond, the great B.B. King. Nothing like him. Welcome back to America Trends. I'm Amy Fuller. We are back also with our friend of the show, Michael Volpe. He is a freelance investigative journalist who keeps tracks, who keeps track of things like corruption in the court system, whistleblowers, and corruption in the foster care system. Obviously, foster care is supposed to protect the most vulnerable among us from bad guys, but so many times, fingers are being pointed at the foster care system. And Michael, you have an important update about a mother who not only lost her children from her own custody, but she's under indictment. And I think, is she waiting to go on trial for alleged child abuse herself?
Correct. They are arguing that she forced somehow unnecessary procedures on her kids. They took her kids away for what's called Munchausen by proxy, where in Munchausen you're faking disorders or you're putting disorders in your kids that aren't there. And so they're arguing that she forced somehow doctors to perform unnecessary procedures. And yeah, 8 counts of child abuse. If she's convicted, she'll probably spend the rest of her life in jail. That's so, Melissa Deagle in Arizona.
Yeah, Maricopa County, right?
Right.
Yeah, we have talked about this before. To go back to the beginning, why was she accused? Who came forward with these allegations? And how did it all get started?
It's a great question. She was first accused by her hospital, Phoenix Children, a doctor at the hospital, and that was right after, I'm sure, quite coincidentally, she asked for a second opinion. And that's very common. Ask for a second opinion, the next thing you know, CPS is at your door.
Oh, boy. So I mean, that's bone-chilling for anybody.
It is.
So she asked for a second opinion, which we're often encouraged to do for ourselves and for our loved ones, and that led to them saying, whoa, what are you saying? What are you trying to do?
Correct. The hospital calls in, and next thing you know, CPS shows up. There's a case out of Texas, the Pardo case, which the Texas Homeschooling Coalition has done a lot of work on. Same type of deal. They made a complaint against their hospital, and the very next day, CPS shows up. Again, I'm sure quite coincidentally.
Why does that sort of happen with these? Do administrators step in and they fear being sued, or they fear being targeted by law enforcement themselves, so they sort of pass the buck and say, oh, what we are saying is right, and there must be something wrong with this parent? I mean, we hate to think that about the people who, again, are supposed to be caretakers.
Probably a combination of all three, maybe some things we couldn't even think of, all of that.
So that's what's been going on. And about when was this time frame, and what specifically is the update now, Michael?
Well, she was taken into custody in May, and I think you had me on shortly after she was taken into custody. The first update, she seemed to be near death and certainly in just exorbitant pain. And so in the last couple of weeks, a lot of media were asking questions. And as you can see, that's the update. The jail says there's no problem. There's one thing about that update. You can see September 4th, September 3rd, I didn't make calls. There was multiple media who called them on September 3rd, and suddenly a doctor shows up to check on her on September 4th. Once again, I'm sure quite coincidentally. That's one update. She was released. She had $100,000 bond, but you need to raise $10,000, but also have the rest. And they were able to raise it. She was released on Friday. I don't know if this is an update, but this is very important. I spoke to her sister. Her sister said that the mother has the same sort of esophagus issue that her kids had. And then the sister was diagnosed with the same mitochondrial condition that the kids had. So in fact, a lot of the ailments that she says her kids have and that the doctors said her kids have are probably hereditary. And so they're blaming she's making it up. And that's how absurd it is. It's probably hereditary.
I can't imagine. There's so many parts to this. There's so many parts to you're concerned about your child anyway. Your child's sick. It's devastating. Then this all happens. I can't even imagine. So Melissa is now released as of Friday, you say?
Right.
And what was her medical condition, you say? And there she is. Two daughters?
Correct. She had... The simple way to describe it is like a bowel blockage. Somebody gave me the technical term, but from my understanding, it's very similar to the condition that at least one of her kids had. And then her sister told me I have a mitochondrial disorder that's very similar to my niece's, or at least one of them. So it looks like it's hereditary, and they're claiming that she's making it up. I mean, that's how ridiculous it is.
Boy, mitochondrial conditions can be very complex, and... Mm-hmm. And you can there's all this information. You can do DNA checks and genetic. I'm not mm-hmm. completely familiar with it, but you can check these things to see if they're hereditary and passed down. So mm-hmm. I guess I'm still not really sure about what the doctor said was wrong with her children, and she wanted a second opinion, maybe on treatment. And then this all happened. It turns out this mitochondrial condition might be running in the family altogether. So if they're accusing her of Munchausen's, which is when a parent or caretaker or someone for attention sickens their child purposefully to get attention. And there have been all kinds of nasty allegations about people and cases that are cited where people have sickened, again, their kids, and they've gotten mm-hmm. money from people and free trips to Disneyland and all these things. So this is a really tough allegation for anyone to handle. And it sounds like you're saying she's completely innocent, and it's just mm-hmm. one of these things. And I, again, it's just this, the devastation foisted on this mother is incomprehensible.
Correct. And Megan Fox, who you had on, has been following another case, Cindy Absug. She is accused of Munchausen by proxy. The same thing. This happens, I think it's 0.005% of the time. 1 in 20,000 cases, and yet with CPS, you find it everywhere.
So 1 in 20,000 cases is what the average is, but when it comes to the foster care system, it's popping up more than that seems reasonable. Okay, Michael, we've got a hard break, but I'm gonna keep you after this. Michael is a freelance investigative journalist exposing corruption and trying to help parents and others who cannot help themselves. We're back with him after this. Michael Volpe is a freelance investigative reporter who keeps an eye on the court system, court corruption. He also does work on the Department of Veterans Affairs, police corruption, nonprofits, securities, and political corruption. Boy, Michael, you must be a very busy guy.
I can be.
So you were just updating on the case of one mother who had been in prison. How many months was Melissa in prison, Michael?
Since I think she was taken into custody in May. And look, I don't think they ever expected her to get the bond. So they were going to keep her in custody for a while. But since May, I believe. I think she didn't even have a traffic ticket. Or let's say she did. The most she had up to this point was a traffic ticket.
So Melissa, what was her last name again? Pronounce it.
Deagle, D-I-G-E-L.
Melissa Deagle, two children taken away from her. She took them to the hospital. They mm-hmm. gave her a diagnosis and a treatment recommendation, I suppose. And she mm-hmm. asked for a second opinion. And then she was therefore accused of Munchausen's or Munchausen's by proxy, however you right. term it. And was eventually put in jail until last Friday when she bonded out. And mm-hmm. and she's been very ill. And so mm-hmm. obviously she doesn't have her kids now, right?
She hasn't seen the oddest part of this is she hasn't seen her kids since 2014. They're accusing her of things that purportedly happened between 2011 and 2014. No explanation for how it took them nearly 5 years to come up with this indictment.
Are they with a relative or were they just put into
foster care? Who knows? They could be dead. She doesn't know where they are. The last time she knew them, they were in foster care. And by the way, there's an affidavit from the CASA worker who's supposed to take care of the kids, who right months after they were put into foster care said they were sick, They were losing a lot of weights, and Luke looked like they were being abused in foster care.
Michael, so CASA, these are people who volunteer to be the voice for children when they go in front of a judge or at a hearing. They're the person, like, for instance, if their guardian or parent is accused of something and they're in foster care, this is a third party who will come, again, be their voice.
And it's supposed to be a third party. Often it's not, but yes.
Is that
correct.
So? Okay. See, you know, because you've delved into this. So she hasn't seen them. She's gotten reports. She has no evidence, as you say, that they're even alive.
Correct. The part that the state has to explain is, if all of this happened in 2014, how come it's 2019 and you have an indictment? If these kids really weren't sick and the mother was doing this, then you would assume as soon as they went into foster care, they'd be fine. And that's when you give the indictment. No, it took 5 years.
That's a whole other matter of the backlog, if that's the reason. But what kind of recourse does a parent have in these matters? It sounds like none.
Right. You know, the irony is there's a lawyer out of California, Sean McMillan, who makes a lot of money suing CPS, Child Protective Services, for constitutional violations of parents. However, you can't do that until you get your kids back. So there's no recourse until you get your kids back. Once you get your kids back, if they violated your rights, you have all of the power in the world. It's the same thing with wrongful convictions. You had me on about John Juco. One reason he's still in jail is the minute he gets out, he's got a big fat lawsuit. It's the same thing. No recourse until you get your kids back.
So Melissa, does she have a date yet for her trial hearing?
No, she does not have a date for her trial. In fact, they're calling a complex case. In fact, they said 8 weeks, the prosecution in a filing said approximately they're expecting it to be 8 weeks. Just for comparison's sake, OJ's trial about 8-9 months. John Gotti's about 3 months. So they're a little longer, but essentially they're thinking it's about as complex as taking on John Gotti.
You know, one of the things from early on, we were supposed to have the right to a fairly quick trial.
Speedy trial. The next court hearing is until November, and that's nowhere near the trial. I don't know when they'll set the trial.
When you compound that, that's supposed to be a right for every American, but the fact that not only is she have these charges hanging over her, but her children have been taken away for years now, and there's nothing she can do until she gets through this trial. This is just a great, great aggravation, just a great grievance for any American to have to deal with.
Yeah, I don't think the state cares that much about that.
Okay, so keep us up to date on Melissa Deagle. She's got our prayers, and my goodness, how many parents or guardians do you think across the nation are going through something like this? Well, I mean, we could talk about in recent years or right now, for instance.
There's approximately 450,000 kids in foster care. I suspect at least half are in there for no reason. So 200,000 plus pairs of parents, at least.
Michael, why do you think this is? It seems by many indications it's more than just misunderstandings or being extra careful. There are a lot of accusations about the worst, very nefarious purposes that you can think of.
Because federal funds incentivize taking your kids. Social Security, Title 4B and 4E. I don't know if we got enough time to explain it here.
Got 3 minutes, so go ahead.
Yeah, there were federal laws starting in 1974 called CAPTA, Child Abuse Protection and Treatment Act, which first but it gave money if you put your kids in foster care. Then the Adoption and Safe Families Act in 1997, which incentivize taking kids. You get money from the feds every time a child is taken. You get more money the more time they spend in foster care. You get even more money if they then adopt it out. That's why it's happening. Very nefarious.
Many people go even further and talk about the human and child trafficking that occurs and how these kids are lost to the system, and some of them can be the very easiest targets because, again, they've been lost from their guardian or parent.
Right. Melissa Deagle may be the most notorious case in Arizona. If not, it's baby Devani, who was taken from a perfectly fit mother and father, placed with a guy who ran a pornography ring. After removed from her care, placed with another woman who scalded her with burning water, burned 80% of her body.
Who was this?
Baby Devani.
And when was
that happened
again?
I think it was 2014, 2015. Placed with a child with a pedophile. Absolutely. And that's not the only one. Many, many kids get placed with pedophiles. Pedophiles love foster care.
Oh, sure. Sure. And they're very good at hiding who they are. Mm-hmm. They live among us. Michael, it's amazing we're not hearing more about this every single day. We have mainstream media now. We have online. Mm-hmm. We have radio. There are a lot of outlets for this sort of thing. And so I can't believe more people aren't having you on and hearing your story and the digging you're doing. And again, you're a freelancer. It is truly remarkable.
Right. My theory is because we're in a partisan world and you can't either blame or credit Trump for it, no one cares.
You know what, Michael? You just nailed it. My gosh. If you can't blame or credit Trump,
nobody
who cares? Okay. Right. In about 30 seconds, tell us where we can find you. Can we support you? And what can we do to support people who are going through this? What can someone who's listening or watching do?
Well, I believe Child Protective Services is completely unnecessary, so people should call their local congressman, their local state reps, and say you should abolish Child Protective Services. If you want to support me, my last book is Sandra Grazzini, Rookie in the World's Last Custody Trial. Get it on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, or whatever is your favorite bookstore.
Hey, send that to us. We'll make sure we'll put it on social media for everyone to grab. Michael, thank you so much, and we hope to see you back in coming days with updates on all these. Michael Volpe. Back here on America Trends Now, I'm Amy Fuller. The Brett Kavanaugh debacle, they just cannot let go. And our now Supreme Court justice, our latest one, new allegations, which that's not even the correct way to say it. These are allegations from a year ago that someone brought up now, the mainstream media grabbed hold of, and, you know, his family is put in the spotlight again. We are with Tom DelVaccaro. He is the author of The Divided Era, and what better name for the times we do live in. He is the purveyor of PoliticalVanguard.com, an attorney, former head of the California Republican Party. You can find out more at TomDell.com. He's very active on social media. Tom, welcome back. What, do you believe any of this junk?
Objection, leading.
Yeah, I know, right? Well, I don't have that weight on my shoulders of actually having a law degree like you and having gone to law school, so I can just, you know, throw things out there like some of these other people are doing.
Is it exactly that? Well put, because that's what this is. Look, the New York Times produces a story with this allegation, and then amazingly, within this, they admit a day later that they left out the part that the person to whom this supposedly happened has no recollection of it ever happening.
Not even a day, hours later. Now, are we blaming the social media editor or whatever that person's title is because they, you know, put up this story about whatever story it was, and there's a book coming out this week? And okay, so here's what happened. This is Sunday night. New York Times opinion, so at least they put it under opinion, and there you see some of these things and the things that he's accused of, which is just, again, junk, stuff you can't even read around the dinner table, and if we could put it back up again, you don't want to say out loud. And then within hours, they, again, and this is not the first time in recent weeks, the New York Times has had to retract something. We have deleted an earlier tweet to this article that was poorly phrased. Thank you, old gray lady, and the newspaper of record, which not. This is disgusting.
Yeah, well, look, maybe what's really happening is that Ruth Bader Ginsburg is not doing physically well, and they're already geared up for the fight that will occur either this fall or in March. But at the end of the day, this kind of stuff actually doesn't, I don't think at this stage, helps the Democrats. Because the elections are always about the future, and they are so stuck in an angry past, like whether it was Mueller, impeachment, or this. And I think it takes away from a message. And it certainly hurts Nancy Pelosi in her attempt to take the House. So as horrible as this is for Brett Kavanaugh, and I feel sorry for him and his family, And this what this really shows is how disorganized and desperate the Democrats are across the board.
This was trending. You know, you get up Sunday and you see Kavanaugh's trending, and here's why. And there are people reacting, and some people are saying, well, it's because the people who perjured themselves in the first place, like Christine Blasey Ford, they say, weren't convicted for perjury, just were able to let go. You had President Trump tweeting that Brett Kavanaugh should sue the New York Times for libel. Enough is enough.
Yeah.
So, but then you have other people saying that Kavanaugh perjured himself. So it just depends on, it's again, what side of the political spectrum you're on, whether you're hearing the words Laurel or Yanni, that famous little, like, the ear test that people were trending a few days back. Some people heard Laurel, some heard Yanni. Whatever side you're on, that's where you're going to go. But should a guy like Kavanaugh, this guy's been so very vetted so many different times, and he's come out with flying colors as an upstanding American. Who else could go through that much vetting and come out unscathed with no evidence? They found nothing.
Yeah, and even Ruth Bader Ginsburg says he's a nice guy, which the Republicans will be able to use later on. Now, look, this is the times we are in. You can expect this to go on through all the way through next year. Remember, the Democrats, by and large, want to employ a massive socialist agenda. They don't sell socialism. They sell fear. So in all of history, fear and the hatred of fellow man, and call it greed. And they blame the rich, and that's how they get it. You have to hate these other people and vote for us. And this is just part of that overall dynamic. And I wish people would pick up a history book and look at socialism in the past and the run-ups to it. And that's basically it. It's not sold on the merits of what you actually get, because the merits have always been bad. It is sold on fear and loathing. And that's where we are.
Tom, I think you're so right. How long can the Democrats, well, I guess they've been doing it for a while, run on a platform of people hate you, the rich
hate
are...
the country.
The rich are...
Did you see the debate?
Oh, yeah, we're going to get to the debate, Tom.
Was the worst place on earth. It's not the worst place on earth. It's actually produced the best prosperity, the most freedom. And as Camille Paglius says, its economic system has lifted people out of poverty and gave them economic freedom, even created feminism. And it is true, the industrialization in the hands of capitalists have allowed women to be self-sufficient instead of dependent. You can argue whether that's a good or a bad thing, but you can't argue that it didn't occur. And yet you watch the debate and you have nothing but Pete, that phony Mayor Pete, telling the world how bad Christians are and how bad we are against gays. Really? Maybe he should go to Africa or the Middle East and Russia and these other places and see how they treat gays. And just to listen to them, the loathing is just unbelievable. And at the end of the day, I think it's going to be too much for the American voter to handle.
I hope their constituency can do some critical thinking. And we never tell anyone how to think, or we don't like you because you think this way. But there you have it. The people on the liberal edge and people running for president will tell you they will defend countries and caliphates who, it just as easily as they breathe, would put gays to death. And if you listen to them for any amount of time, Tom, you would think that this country was founded on the worst of the worst types of morals and beliefs, and we're still that way. So why do they want to be here so badly? Why do all these people want to come here and claim asylum and come here to be protected? Something doesn't ring true about their jive.
Yeah, of course not. Like all of history. And you're right, people still want to come here because it's, compared to everywhere else, it's the land of opportunity. America is still the best place to invest. It's the best place to get an education still. So the mistake the Democrats are making is most people want to vote for a positive reason, and they like to like their country. And they're too many. They're so harsh on America that I think independents will be scared off. I know, by the way, the tax increases in the Medicare for all. So again, I think these are mistakes by the Democrats. Remember in January of this year when I wrote for Fox Business about the fact that they were going to compete to go far left? Well, this is where they end up.
Yeah, they are screaming and going to the extreme left as much as possible to stand out. And it can make your head spin. So, Tom, I want to ask you more about, you know, what we saw in the debate. And also, within hours, all these Democratic contenders had to sound off on Kavanaugh and say, impeach. It's nuts. Back with Tom after this. Land of the free, home of the brave. If you are one of our veterans or active military, reserve, we thank you so much for your service all day, every day, and we pray for you. We're back with Tom DeBaccaro. And Tom, just want to reiterate that this allegation that's popped up, because it's not new, against now Supreme Court Justice Brett Kavanaugh has to do with someone publishing a book this week. And the person who supposedly this happened to, he exposed himself, I think, at a high school party. And the person would not talk to the authors. So her friends talked to them and said, well, she doesn't even remember this alleged incident. This is so nothing that it's disgusting. Yet Brett Kavanaugh was trending and he's being targeted again. So just wanted to wrap that up and then we'll talk about the debate, Iran, and Trump being subpoenaed for his tax returns.
Well, this is all part of the demonization of politics that I was referring to. They're demonizing Kavanaugh and therefore by extent, and they admitted that this is, you know, about saving Roe versus Wade.
Roe v. Wade. That's the foundation of this. Roe v. Wade, they want to corrupt any future judgment or decision Brett Kavanaugh would make on the Supreme Court.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, they've demonized Trump. So they're pushing, whether it's through the Congress, and to get his tax returns, as if it matters what he was doing 8 years ago, before he became president. That is not, unless he committed murder, there is no reason that any of this should be going on.
You're right? Segueing to Trump's tax returns and news.
Yes.
The New York Times reporting that prosecutors have subpoenaed 8 years worth of Trump's tax returns. At last, they want to see all this.
Yeah, but that's irrelevant from X amount of years ago. So they can issue a subpoena. But I'm sure the courts eventually will block this or some accommodation will be made. But this is all about the demonization and criminalization of politics. The Democrats still will not accept the results of the last election, which, of course, they claim Trump wouldn't. And they've been doing nothing of that for years on end.
It just goes on and on.
Yeah. And it won't stop. It will not stop. They're incapable of this. Socialists are not capable of accepting no, because they have in their mind a higher purpose to mold the world as they like it, whereas those of us on the right who believe in freedom don't want anything to be molded. And so that's where they are.
Going back to Thursday's debate, and by the way, the next one is going to be, hosted by New York Times and CNN.
Oh, great.
Yeah, Democratic debate in Westerville, Ohio at Otterbein University, October 15th. But as for the one for last week, I guess I could ask you what stood out, but then we've got to talk about Beto O'Rourke. If anyone needed a poster child for why the Second Amendment matters and why you shouldn't take away guns, this isn't just conservatives saying they're going to take away our guns and it by being hyperbolic. Beto O'Rourke said, I'm going to come take away your guns. It's obscene.
Well, he exposed what many of us have known all along, that this is an incremental effort to get rid of the Second Amendment. And this is why the election and re-election of Trump, if you care about the Second Amendment, is beyond consequential. Because either we have a Supreme Court that respects the Second Amendment or we do not. And I wouldn't have any doubt that if Hillary Clinton had her choice, she would have filled it with judges that would have eviscerated the Second Amendment. So the question becomes, if you care about guns and you hear my voice and you vote for a Democrat to fill Supreme Court seats, basically you're saying that it's okay that the Second Amendment be whittled away by the courts, which is, of course, not our system at all. We had a Second Amendment, shall not be infringed. It's already infringed way more than our founders ever imagined. Beto O'Rourke unmasked the Democrats. They're not happy with him about that, but that's just the reality. Overall, I want to say something that I think is different than what you're reading in the press. The winner of the debate was two people, Bernie Sanders and Elizabeth Warren, because no one challenged either of them. And this is now officially a three-person race. The fading Biden, Bernie Sanders, who's in second in almost all the early states and in the national polling, and Elizabeth Warren, who has distanced herself from the rest of the pack. It is a catastrophic error for all of the other seven on stage not to have attempted to slow the roll of Elizabeth Warren. She's the one rising. Sanders was already there. Not to slow her roll. If they continue to let her support solidify, they're going to be irrelevant. Of course, Castro went after Biden. They didn't like the way he went after Biden.
That did not go well for Castro.
But that's okay. He has to do something. You can't just sit from behind more than a stone's throw away and expect to catch up.
He looked ridiculous, Tom.
Okay. But at least he tried something. The others, for not trying to go stop Elizabeth Warren, made a catastrophic error. And if she continues to solidify, this is going to be nothing but a three-man race and one woman with a woman as one of those. Sorry.
A woman, one of the three men.
Race.
I hear you.
A three-person race. Yeah. And the rest are going to regret it. Keep in mind, the press cannot cover 10 people at once. It doesn't work. And so they're going to start covering just those three. Well, they ignore Bernie as much as they can. And the others won't be able to make a comeback. The only wild card here is that Tom Steyer says he's made the debate stage next time around, and perhaps he, who will only talk about impeachment on that debate stage, well, he'll answer other questions, but he'll push impeachment. Maybe he puts the others on the spot about that where they don't want to be. We'll see. But big mistake letting Warren continue to rise.
And real quick, Tom Steyer, is he a millionaire or billionaire, a California guy who funds Democratic this, that, and the other? And you well know, because you are in California and you ran for office there and were head of the Republican Party for a time. So there's Tom Steyer. We'll see if he gets on stage. And as you say, Elizabeth Warren, I guess she's been pretty consistent. About 30 seconds, Tom, but anything else you just want to just finish up with about, you know, those final three? Interesting that Kamala Harris not being spoken about at all.
No, she had her chance. She blew it. She had a glass jaw, as I said, on Fox TV, on national news. She's going to continue to fade. I think this is solidifying into a three-person race. Now, look, Howard Dean had a big lead in December of 2003 and didn't get the nomination. I'm not saying the others should give up, but they got to change their strategy.
To be continued, find out more at TomDell.com. Tom DelVicaro, thank you so much. This is America Trends on the U2 America TV network and Biz Talk Radio. Would love to talk to you on Twitter And here is our website, u2america.com. But as you just saw on the screen, too, I'm at amyfuller.com on Twitter. And would love to be friends with you there. And you can find our show on Twitter at AmericaTrendsTV. And then here is our network, at U2America. Let's all like each other and be friends. It'll be a lot of fun. That's the point of social networking. We're also on Facebook and Instagram, so connect there as well. And we want to give a shout out to our Biz Talk radio audience all over the nation. Tampa, St. Louis, Portland, Dallas. Hello to all of you. And we appreciate our affiliates so much. Thank you to Michael Volpe, freelance investigative reporter who looks into corruption in the political system, the courts, the VA, foster care, had some really interesting updates on some cases, so we always appreciate him coming on. Tom Del Beccaro, he's the publisher of Political Vanguard and author of The Divided Era. That's his latest book. Very active on social media as well, so you can find him there. Finally tonight, a new movie coming out called Loose, starring Naomi Watts and Tim Roth. Really interesting topics. I wanted to share a little bit with you as we say goodbye for now. Thanks for being with us.
When I first met my mother, she couldn't pronounce my name. My father suggested that they rename me. They picked Loose, which means light.
If you Googled model student, Luce Edgar's picture would come up on the computer.
Given Luce's background, you and Peter must have faced quite a few challenges. The language barrier, the culture shock.
I mean, you don't pull a kid out of a war zone and have him turn out like Luce without a lot of help.
Which is why this is so difficult.
Difficult?
Last week, he wrote a paper in which he argued that violence was a necessary cleansing force.
You teach this?
I don't.
So what?
Just something's going on, and I want to be in front of it.
She thinks I'm a poster boy, black kid who overcame his tragic past.
You really don't like her, do you?
Okay, what about a responsibility to tell the truth? What?
This! Go!
You don't conform to what she wants, and suddenly you're the enemy.
This woman has some kind of vendetta against Luce.
Isn't there a chance that what he wrote just went over your head?
I can tell the difference between miscommunication and provocation.
Like, get out. Writing something like that might make someone freaked out. You really think I believe that stuff?
I don't know.
You threatened your teacher?
I didn't.
Luce, don't lie to me.
I'm not.
Luce.
It's the truth.
What happened with Miss Wilson?
There were a lot of rumors.
This woman decided to go after him on some witch hunt.
My home was vandalized.
I'm not going to ruin some kid's life because you come in here with some hunches.
Is Where? My son being accused of a crime here?
He sure as hell is about to be.
It's like I only get to be a saint or a monster.
Tell me the truth!
This woman's just gone through a mental breakdown.
What are you doing?
He's lying, Dan.
Period.
Once you know something, you can't unknow it. I want to know. No matter what.
Just goes to show you. You never really know what's going on with people.